Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
All the fathers and some of the mothers and aunts and all those other people who have stood instead of our fathers. This is the day that we call Father's Day. And as the scripture that we're using basically tells the whole story. I was tempted, honestly, to just read the 37th Psalm because it tells so much. That is much better.
Yes.
I've gotten used to it, awesome. It's the 37th Psalm, one that I started to read because it says so much for the men. And as I said, it's not just for men, but because it is Men's Day, we're directed toward them, but it speaks to us all. But I want you just to turn in your Bibles to the 37th Psalm, and I just want to read a couple of verses, starting with verse 23. Verse 23, it reads thusly, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And I want to use as a topic a father's legacy. And it's quite normal for me, I will put a colon there and give you a thought: like father, like son. So a father's legacy, for colon, like father, like son. You know, most fathers, I'm not going to say most fathers, some fathers want to leave their children a legacy. You know, some want to leave their children an inheritance. And some of us are even fortunate enough to leave a child a family business. These days and times, that's getting less and less. So most of us don't have a family business to leave to our children, and inheritance are getting slacker and slacker. When I was studying, I read a funny story, that I repeat to you. It says, it's so rough now sometimes. He said, this man's family had gathered around for the reading of his will. And all the children were there. And when they started reading the will, all that they said was, it started out saying, "Being a sound mind, I spent every dime." So, but most men, you want to leave a legacy for your child. And what you normally leave for your child is a personality or trait. That's what your legacy normally is. What you leave for that child is usually some trait, some part of your personality. And the unfortunate part about this whole thing is that many times that trait that you leave is not your best trait. That's the unfortunate part, that many times the child will pick up the worst trait that you have. You know, I've heard so many men like to stick their chest out sometime. When the kid does something good, you hear them often say, like father, like son. Boy, the apple don't fall far from the tree. But then when that kid does something wrong, something that you don't want him to do, what you hear is, he didn't get it from me. He'd have it both ways. As the Lord took me, he took me deep when we were preparing this. And he showed me how important it is for us to ask the Lord to order our steps. Just order our steps and guide us day by day, because if we're not guided by him every day, every hour of the day, we're going to leave a trait that child might pick up. I'm reminded of the song which will guide this sermon, but order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Humbly I ask thee to teach me your will. While you're working, help me be still. Satan is busy, God is real. Order my steps in your word. Bridle my tongue, let my words edify. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Take charge of my thoughts, both day and night. Order my steps in your word. And men, if you just keep that in mind, I'll give you a goal. Our goal in life is to be able to not have to say, he didn't get it from me. That's our goal. It's a lofty goal, because it calls us to live what would be a perfect life, trying to keep from doing anything that child can see and pick up. That one trait, that one thing that you didn't want them to see you doing, or to duplicate what you're doing, that's the thing that they're most likely to pick up. So we ask the Lord to order our steps. I just want to go through this morning, just give you a couple of biblical examples of what can happen. And, you know, sometimes no matter how hard you try, it just seems like you do something there that they can see and they pick it up anyway. And I like to leave a word for you to say, once you've done all that you can, you just stand. But be sure you've done all that you can. You know, when we look back at the Bible, and it all started with Adam. Adam left a legacy to his firstborn son, Cain. And that legacy was the legacy of disbelief. You see, God told Adam in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. You see, if Adam had really believed that he would die when he ate that forbidden fruit, he wouldn't have done it. So he really didn't believe God meant what he said. I mean, his actions proved it. And he found out. And then he handed this disbelief on to his son, Cain. You read in Genesis 4, 3 through 5, that Cain brought the first fruits of his crop as an offering to the Lord. And his little brother Abel offered fat from the firstborn of his flock. So you know that Adam had taught both young men what they ought to do. Otherwise, Abel wouldn't have known. But Cain didn't, because Cain didn't believe. He disbelieved what his father told him. Like father, like son. I'm sure Adam would have liked to say, he didn't get it from me. But he did. Then there was Abraham, who we call the father of our faith, because he believed God. It was accounted to him as righteousness. In Genesis 12, 10 through 20, Abraham lied to the Pharaoh of Egypt and said that his wife was his sister. Is that right? He did that to save his own life. And then in Genesis 20 and 2 through 18, he told the very same lie again. That my wife is my sister. So do you think that it's a coincidence that in Genesis 26, 7 through 11, you find Isaac telling the same lie? Like father, like son. He said that legacy of lying. They picked up all the good that Abraham did. You see what they are picking up? And then along came Jacob after Isaac, and we all know Jacob must have been one of the biggest liars of all time. Is that right? Jacob was always scheming and stole his brother's birthright, lying to his father. And where did he get it from? Like father, like son. And then Jacob had 12 sons. And I'm not going to go through them all, but you just look at what happens. You look at what they did to their own brother, what they did to Joseph. Sold him. And then went back and lied to old Jacob. Told him that somebody had killed, some old wild animal had killed Joseph. So they went back and lied to their father. Mm-hmm. Just to show you what bad traits can do. How your children will pick up, and particularly sons looking up to their fathers. As AJ said, look up to dad. And when you look up to dad, you pick up most of the time the worst thing that dad could possibly do. So the reason I'm telling you these stories, the whole point is to show us that the goal that we're striving for is to prevent ourselves from having to say, he didn't get it from me. He didn't get it. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Whatever he does, he didn't get it from me. I keep looking at your dad. I'm looking at all your dad. And I look at my daughter. She didn't get it from me. But it's a challenge. But the way that the Lord has arranged things, we are the head of the household. And everybody is looking to us. And although we don't get credit for everything that goes right, we do get blamed for everything that goes wrong. And it's not the people that get to blame us. It's God that blames us. That's what Adam tried to do with Eve. He said, the woman you gave me, she brought that apple in this house. Never was any fruit in my house, but that woman brought it in here. But God looks at us. So it's up to us to be able to say, he didn't get it from me. When you look at the book of Psalms, Psalms 37, it gives us a guideline for what we as men ought to be, what we ought to be about. If you got your Bibles, you can just read with me. Psalms 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. So the first thing I tell you to do, don't worry. Don't fret yourself. Don't get all twisted and tangled up. Don't worry about what other people are doing or how they're doing things or who's progressing. Don't worry about that, man. Just focus on yourself. Then verse 3 says, and trust in the Lord and do good. Ain't that simple? Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Simple instructions to be the man that God calls you to be. And then I want to just leave you with a positive story of a man who did leave. Or I should say, as the Bible records it, the Bible only records what he did positive. So I just want to leave you with an example of a father who left a good example for his son. That father's name is Manoah. And everybody says, who? But Manoah is the father of Samson. And I just want to tell you the story of Manoah. It's in Judges 13. An angel appears to Manoah's wife and tells her that although she has been childless up to now, she's going to have a son. Then the woman went to tell her husband. He told her, but a man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the birth until the day of his death. Quite a story to come out of the field and find your wife telling you that story. If you're looking still, it's just Judges 13. I'm around verse 8 at this point. And here's the crucial part of the whole story, is that immediately his wife approached him and told him this story, that she had seen a man of God. And my Bible tells me that the first thing that Manoah did, he started to pray to the Lord. He said, "Oh Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us again come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." The whole point is that immediately, every time something comes up that this man didn't understand, he prayed. Immediately, Manoah prayed, and it tells me that he never let a large gap go through his life each time he prayed. It says, pray often, never let it build up. Never think that you've got to wait till things are overwhelming. Just pray constantly, constantly pray, and God will order your steps. You know the story of Samson, how Samson grew up and Samson did some things wrong, and Samson got tied up with the ladies and they got him in some trouble. Again, they're not responsible. They might cause the trouble, but they're not responsible for it. But Samson, once he had allowed this woman to get his hair cut off and they'd taken him prisoner, he remembered his father. Mm-hmm. And he remembered that his father was a praying man. So his father had left him a legacy of prayer. I don't know what else Manoah may have done, but his son had picked up that legacy of prayer. And when he found himself in prison, with no strength, he called on the Lord. And he called on the Lord, and when he did, he said, "Just allow me this one time. Just give me the strength, Lord." He called on the Lord for strength one time that he could pull the anchors of the castle down. Hallelujah. And my Bible tells me that he killed more in that one episode than he did all the days of his life. Then when he pushed, let me just read it for you. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. The last words that left Samson's mouth were prayers to God. I think his father would have been pleased. I think his father would have poked out his chest and said, "Like father, like son. The apple does not fall far from the tree." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he should not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Order my steps, dear Lord. I want to walk worthy, my calling to fulfill. Please order my steps, Lord, and I'll do your blessed will. The world is ever changing, but you are still the same. If you order my steps, I'll praise your name. Order my steps in your word. Order my tongue in your word. Guide my feet in your word. Wash my heart in your word. Show me how to walk in your word. Show me how to talk in your word. When I need a brand new song to sing, show me how to let your praises ring. Please order my steps in your word. Men, it's a challenge. Order my steps in your word.
call on the Lord all of the time. Pray often. And try to walk upright, because you never know who's watching you. Not just your own children, but somebody has an eye on you, and somebody said, I want to be like him. And they're picking up a trait from you. Make sure you don't have to say, he didn't get it from me. But instead, the apple does not fall far from the tree. Like father, like son. Let us pray. Guide us, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, we ask right now a special prayer for fathers and those who have to guide young ones, Lord. Oh Lord, just guide us and order our steps, Lord. Show us the way that you would have us go. Treat us as children, Lord, and just hold our hand, Lord, and guide and direct us, Lord. And when we get out of line, Lord, just nudge us gently and guide us back to where you would have us to go. We need you, Lord. We call on you on this day that's designated as Father's Day. You've given us a big challenge, Lord God. You've given men big responsibility. But we know if we just let you order our steps, that you will guide us in the way we should go. Oh, Lord, we praise your name. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.